When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to More Than Amused Podcast, a podcast all about women and the arts, hosted by Stani and Sadie.
Join us as we explore what it's like being a female artist, examine modern day problems, and educate ourselves and you on important and forgotten female artists of the past.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to More Than Amused. I'm Stani.
And I'm Sadie. And welcome to Barbie Part 2.
Yay, Barbie Part 2.
If this is the first episode of ours that you're clicking on, I would recommend that you go to Part 1, because in the Part 1 of our Barbie episodes, we went over the whole history of Barbie, how it was formed, some key moments of the brand, controversies, how they've responded, all of it.
And like, me and Sadie were dying because when we went to go see the Barbie movie, all of the things that we researched for the podcast were so relevant. There are so many inside jokes, little things in the scene that you probably wouldn't notice otherwise. So like, highly recommend, even if you've already seen the Barbie movie, go back and listen to the first one, because there will be so many things that you'll be like, oh wait, that's what that was. Like,
that's what that was.
Yeah, it was incredible. They did such a good job of like tiny little Easter eggs all throughout the movie. So
they really did. And I really honestly loved and appreciated it, because they definitely had such a care and like homage for the brand, and
they truly did.
It shone through, and I thought that was super cool.
It was beautiful. It was also kind of, well, okay, we'll explain the structure of this.
Yes, we're gonna get ahead of ourselves. Let's remind ourselves of our outline.
So first off, I just want to mention, like, we want to fully state, we know that there is a strike going on right now in the whole movie world. I'm sure all of you are very aware of that happening. The strike is between, first off, the Writers Guild, which is like the union of screenwriters and all other kind of writing for movies and television. And then also with another union called SAG-AFTRA, which is the Screen Actors Guild, and that's a Film and Television Recording Association. So they like combine together, and that's basically every actor that you know the name of is probably in SAG-AFTRA. I'd be shocked if you can name an actor that isn't, to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, that is more than just your friend who maybe acts for fun.
They're all in it. They're on the picket line, and we stand behind them 1,000%. Some of the key things that they're fighting for is the use of artificial intelligence, which is very Black Mirror, honestly.
Literally, yes.
And, yeah, some like literally an episode of Black Mirror, and is super messed up. And this is against like a lot of producers and studios and streaming services. And then the other main thing that they're fighting against is residual pay, which is how many times their show gets played on a streaming service, kind of like streams for an artist on Spotify. It's the same thing, but for actors on a streaming service, and they're not getting paid very well for that.
Yeah.
So they're just fighting for better rights, which is something we totally agree with, can totally get behind. I've seen videos on the SAG-AFTRA account of like Aubrey Plaza, Mandy Moore, like out there on the picket line fighting for what they believe in and what they are fully in the right task for. So we stand with them. I also really want to see a woman-directed film crush a male-directed film in the box office, though. So I think a great way to like stick it to the studios is go see Barbie directed by Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, no, definitely. I will admit that, yes, Stani and I had a bit of a conundrum this week of like, oh no, like we know this is going on, this strike and everything, but also like we've been planning on talking about the Barbie movie, and so, you know, that's it. I'm just acknowledging the conundrum that we're in. And if we're actually promoting the movie, I don't know. We're just talking about it. But
yeah, here we are. But there's this so many good things that Barbie stands for. Like, this is the first independently directed female film to like break box office records.
Yeah, it's huge. Really cool. It's really awesome.
Yeah, and there's so few female directors and producers that are allowed to do projects like this and given full reign in, you know, with a brand that was started by a female, like we talked about. So I think that there's like more to stand for than just like going and seeing a film.
Also, I don't think they're discouraging people from going to see movies. So
no, I don't think so. I think that at that point, it's kind of a whole other deal. I don't know exactly what we're allowed to do and not allowed to do. We're not a part of SAG-AFTRA.
Yeah, that's the thing. We are not actors even a little bit. And nor do we generally even do movie commentary. This is a whole new thing for us. So
yeah, I think the last movie commentary we did were on movies that came out in the 70s.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess Don't Worry, Darling. But like we waited until that was on HBO Max. So I mean,
yeah, that wasn't in promotion for the movie. But anyways.
No.
So we just wanted to acknowledge that though, first off. And also, like, you know, if you didn't know that this was going on, maybe take some time, you know, learn about it. I think it's really cool and really awesome that like this is such a united front that artists are fighting for.
Yeah, it's the first union strike that's happened in a really long time, so it's a very monumental thing in history, and it means that most television projects are probably going to be halted until September. So it will affect your life even if you don't notice right now.
It really will. But for the rest of the episode, so if you haven't seen the new Barbie movie, that's fine. We're not going to discuss the movie until the end, but there is a whole other Barbie cinematic universe outside of this newly released movie, and we want wanted to talk about that first, kind of in tandem with what the episode was last week. And so yeah, that's the structure then of today's episode.
Yes, so we'll be spoiler free until we warn you.
Yes. So as we all know, Barbie fashion doll manufactured by the American toy company Mattel has been basically turned into a media franchise since the late 1980s, including all kinds of things like CGI, computer animated film series, TV shows, YouTube vlogs. Like, it's really exploded, and it's referred to among fans as the Barbie cinematic universe. And what I thought was crazy,
which I love,
me too, and that it's become one of the highest grossing media franchises of all time. And I think that because, you know, like the Barbie movies are not necessarily a high budget thing, that you wouldn't even necessarily think about it. But no, the Barbie movies are very important to the Barbie brand. The movies and films would regularly appear on Nickelodeon starting from 2002 to 2007, and now eventually they've been moving to streaming services. If you go onto Netflix and search Barbie, unfortunately they don't have the old ones that I was raised on, but they do have a lot of the Barbie movies. Also, just a side funny note is that when you search Barbie in Netflix, the Reputation Stadium Tour by Taylor Swift is like the second thing, and I thought that was so funny.
Super weird, actually. Like, okay. One fun fact though, if you are feeling nostalgic for any of the previous like old Barbie movies, they are available to rent on Amazon Prime for $4, or you can just buy them for
$5.
Oh, I mean, you could watch it once for $4, or if you watch it twice, you've already paid it off for $5.
Already paid it off. Okay, wait, I'm pausing the information portion for a personal question. What is your favorite Barbie movie?
Oh, I feel like we have to wait to talk about that because we're going to dive into all of them in just a minute.
Okay, fine. I just got really excited to talk about them.
I know. I'm trying to hold myself back. We're almost there.
All right. Moving on. I will give the information first. Like I mentioned, so in the 1980s, they started making video series, like videos for Barbie. But as of 2012, there's the Barbie Life in the Dream House vlogger and Barbie Dreamtopia, their television shows, YouTube. Like I said, it's all over. But the origins of this and why it started, I thought was really interesting. So the popularity and the sales of the Barbie doll started to actually decline in the 1980s and struggled like even further in the 2000s, which is, you know, interesting because it's like we think of Barbie, it's such like a staple of like really just American culture. I don't feel like that's so bold to say, especially with how the world has been responding to this new Barbie movie.
I know. I almost wonder if it's because of stuff like this though. Like I have so much respect for the Barbie brand with their marketing. Like, oh my gosh. But because like, I know we're about to talk about it, but the reason why they went into video was because of Bratz as a competitor for the dolls. So to like get people interested in it again, they were like, okay, let's move into movies.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that now I feel like Barbie sales were probably declining again because the last major push they had was in 2016 with like that documentary and the diverse body Barbie types. It's been a while. So maybe they were like, okay, it's time.
Time to do a full movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because yeah, like you mentioned, they couldn't really compete with Bratz dolls because like they were totally different. They were like, I don't even necessarily want to say they're more sexualized characters, but it was just the vibe was totally different from Barbies and Bratz. And so they were trying to figure out how their brand could adjust to keep the toy relevant. And so what they did is actually what I thought was interesting is they actually initially considered reducing the Barbie's breast size. I don't know why.
I think because maybe Bratz.
Yeah, that's true.
Smaller chest. So they were like, oh, maybe that's where we need to go. But interesting.
I know. But at the same time, they kind of claim that, like, you know what? Like, being consistent is one of Barbie's strengths. Like, we talked about it in the last episode that, like, a very key thing and one was one of the problems in 2016 when they did start introducing new Barbie body types is that all of a sudden the clothes weren't as universal as they were before. But, like, that was the thing that was consistent about Barbies is that all of the Barbie clothes could fit all of your Barbie dolls. And so the Mattel team considered targeting market audiences of career women and their daughters by introducing lines of doctor or lawyer Barbies. However, after they did this research to see if they would, like, you know, resonate with that, they basically just realized that girls were spending more time online than playing with physical dolls. So they decided, okay, cool, then we're going to switch the way we're using Barbie and let's put her in more interactive platforms where the girls can get to know this character and then therefore, you know, want to play with her. And so that's what they did. They made these movies.
Okay. This is such a weird, like, little tangent though, but do you remember the MyScene dolls?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about them, but yes.
Okay, I found out, which I thought so, they were run by Barbie. Oh. Like, Barbie is one of the characters. But it was, like, a direct competitor to Bratz. But did you ever play the MyScene video games?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I loved those. Like, I remember spending so many hours on MyScene games.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm just Googled it just to, like, remember. Yes, the MyScene, like, I was on those, like, the Barbie website and the MyScene all the time.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that was a memory that just got unlocked. Yeah.
I know. Yeah, this is, like, another thing that they did that, like, I didn't want to, like, skip over too much because it was such a major part of my life. Mm-hmm. Also, if you go on, like, this site called Numuki, I think they still have all of the MyScene games. Like, you can go and play them still.
What? Yeah. What is the website?
So, if you just literally Google MyScene games, I think it'll pop up, but it's called Numuki, like Numuki.com.
Thank you for
But they have like the Barbie makeover studio and like the MyScene shopping spree and the MyScene beauty studio.
The makeover studio. Oh no.
I spent hours on that stupid makeover studio. Oh my.
Okay. I have an early flight to catch tomorrow, but like, you know what? Whatever. I'm playing this after we record. Anyways.
I just think it's funny because like I thought for the longest time that they were a competitor of Barbie. And then I was like, wait a second. Barbie was one of the characters. Like
that is totally like, Barbie.
Barbie was one of the scene dolls. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make any sense. But then also if you listen to our episode last week, you'll notice there's some like common names. Like they had characters that shared names with some of the Barbie dolls.
Yeah. So, Well, that's what I mean, like Teresa, one of my favorite Barbie movies that I watched with my little sister was like Barbie and the Diamond Castle. And it was like the friendship of Barbie and Teresa. And then as we were doing the research last week, I was like, oh, Teresa. Oh, like it's all the characters in the Barbie lore, Barbie universe.
That's it. Mm-hmm. So apparently there's also some like legal stuff between Bratz and Mattel. The guy who started Bratz was like working at Mattel when he got the idea for Bratz. And so they were like, you stole the idea from us. But then they got mad at them for having the MyScene dolls and like
them. Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and like called it trade secrets. The judge ended up finding in favor of Mattel, and so they were both able to
just keep going
produce. But then Mattel ended up retiring the MyScene line once the Barbie movies got more popular. So there's a fun
little corner of that. They didn't need the MyScene line. Interesting. Yeah. But the computer games.
But I do remember being obsessed with those video games.
Oh, I played those on the computer all the time. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Okay, well, thank you for bringing this into my life. I really appreciate it.
Go play.
Everyone, go relive your childhoods tonight. You're welcome. Okay, are we going to talk about the specific movies now?
Yes, we are. I'm so excited. Okay, so they found out more people were spending on time online. One of those things that they decided to do was create a film, and they originally decided they were just going to release it every fall, so it'd be a good Christmas present, you know? I feel like fall is the time to release things. Mm-hmm. So they were going to come out with one computer CGI movie a year. And they started out with what I consider like the foolproof method. Like this is what Disney did at first too. Mm-hmm. You don't try to write an original story because it can flop.
Heavens no.
So you take a traditional story that everyone knows and you Barbify it.
You make Barbie the star.
Yep. And so you'll even notice all of these titles are like Barbie in the Nutcracker, Barbie as Rapunzel, because she's the actress playing the character in the movie. It's all very, very meta.
Yes.
Honestly.
I mean, we discussed it last week, is there are literal blooper reels, animated blooper reels at the end of every movie of Barbie messing up her lines and being goofy and getting things wrong.
Definitely.
It's amazing.
Which is ridiculous to think about someone having to animate fake bloopers.
It's amazing.
But whatever, they commit to the bit, like we've talked about. They are dedicated.
They are.
So first off, I had to ask, what was the first Barbie movie you remember seeing?
I mean, it must have been Nutcracker, but Swan Lake and Rapunzel. Rapunzel was the one I watched all the time.
A ton. I mean, that makes sense, actually. You had a song called Rapunzel.
I did. I did. As a 15-year-old, I wrote a song called Rapunzel. Sang that in my junior year talent show.
There you go. I remember I got Barbie and the Nutcracker on VHS for Christmas.
I had all the VHSs for...
The memories. Love it so much. So yeah, I will say Barbie and the Nutcracker is definitely the one I remember a lot. And then I think the rest of them I ended up getting on DVD.
I definitely had Rapunzel on VHS. That is a core memory of mine.
I think I had Rapunzel on DVD. So Barbie and the Nutcracker was the first one that came out in 2001. It's just the classic story, you know?
Yep.
She gets a nutcracker by the Mouse King. She's actually telling the story to her younger sister, Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Who's no longer named that. It is now Chelsea. So that's funny. Then in 2002, they released Rapunzel, another top tier. Then, of course, it just follows Barbie of Swan Lake. Honestly, one of my favorites. Barbie is Princess and the Pauper.
Oh, I had both of the Barbie dolls of the Princess and the Pauper. This has just been like a week of like inner child joy.
I love that so much. So yeah, they did Barbie of Swan Lake, Barbie of Princess Pauper, arguably one of the best. And then they did their first original film actually in 2005 with Barbie Fairytopia. And that one also was released in the spring, which broke their one film per year release schedule. And then they continued on with some kind of mixed with legend or original story. They did Barbie and the Magic Pegasus, then Barbie Fairytopia Mermaidia.
I love it.
I've heard some stories. People believe that that one is actually the very best plot.
Really?
Out of all of them.
I just love how just so girly they are, you know? Like the names. Like, I know you're probably going to mention it in a second, but Barbie Fairytopia Magic of the Rainbow, like that is just, it's a movie made for little girls, and I love it.
And the cases are pink and there's sparkles and everything's like script.
Yeah,
I love it so much. The other one is Barbie Diaries, which came out in 2006. That one was kind of more of a real life scenario. Then they had Barbie and the 12 Dancing Princesses, kind of going back to that Brothers Grimm tale inspired. Then Barbie Fairytopia, which is the trilogy of the Fairytopia.
I love it.
World. Barbie is the Island Princess, Barbie Mariposa, Barbie in the Diamond Castle, which
That's
brought up
I
Teresa,
mentioned.
Like you mentioned. It's actually her first role. And then
her debut.
It also had Stacy, who replaces Kelly as the audience for Barbie stories. So that's her older sister, who's like...
Yeah. I remember.
Eight or nine. And then they did Barbie in A Christmas Carol, which is the last time that her younger sister was named Kelly, because after that,
it changed to Chelsea.
They also had her friend, Nikki, who was introduced for the first time. And then Barbie presents Thumbelina, and then Barbie and the Three Musketeers. And that's kind of where the 2000s end.
Yeah.
And then after that, I consider them the modern plots, whereas these ones are the Barbie classics.
Yeah, I agree. Those are the Barbie classics.
So if you had to like list your top tier, the absolute best Barbie movies, which ones would you pick?
All right. I maybe have given this away. Barbie is Rapunzel. I watched the trailer for it, which, by the way, the animation is a little spookier than I remember.
It's bad, guys. It's not good.
It's not good.
They did not have Disney studio money.
A low budget 2000s animation.
Yeah.
So.
But I don't remember it being bad when I was little.
I don't remember it being bad at all, which I guess, you know, shows how far we've come in the technologies of animation, that I was like, this is what it should look like. Yeah. Barbie Rapunzel. I mean, the magic paintbrush, like, that's my favorite. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me consider this. This is a really important question that you're asking me.
I had time to think about it, so I feel bad that I'm like on you.
I did love Barbie and the Diamond Castle. That was like almost, I mean, I wasn't aging out of Barbie, but like when we had the two Diamond Castle Barbies, like those are my little sisters. They were not mine.
Oh, okay.
But the movie is pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
You have little sisters, so I feel a little jealous. I feel like you got to see more of the later ones than I did. Like the last one I remember watching, like actually watching, is probably Barbie and the 12 Dancing Princesses.
I did watch that one. I haven't actually seen any of the Fairytopia ones.
They're pretty wonderful, I'm not going
to
lie.
I know I need to finish my last three, though.
Yes.
Barbie as the Princess and the Pauper. But I feel bad leaving behind Swan Lake. But okay. I think Rapunzel, Diamond Castle, and Princess and the Pauper, I think those are my top three.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. What about yours? Okay,
my top, I think it's nostalgia that gets me for this one, but like Barbie and the Nutcracker.
You can't beat it. I mean,
I had the Barbie for that one. I was obsessed with ballet for a really long time when I was little, until I sadly found out that I am not flexible enough to ever be a ballerina. But yeah. I still just love it. Like, it's just pretty and like so girly, and I loved the story. So obsessed with Barbie and the Nutcracker. The other ones that I loved Barbie of Swan Lake. I think it was her dress. There's like the unicorn.
Yeah,
it's gorgeous.
It is so beautiful.
So that was a main one. The one that got the most playtime, definitely Barbie the Princess and the Pauper. Also because my brothers would watch that one with me. Miracle.
Wow.
But we loved the whatever his name is, Preminger.
Oh,
his,
yeah,
like evil villain song. How could I refuse? Epic. Best TV villain maybe ever. Like,
you know,
that one, I think, is you literally have an Disney argument for level. That.
Yeah.
I know. They could literally, yeah. Anyway, phenomenal.
I'm so, listen, I'm fully with you. Yeah, yeah, on that.
Mm-hmm. So, and then 12 Dancing Princesses is another one. You'll notice a theme. Anything that involves ballet with Barbie, apparently I'm obsessed with. I didn't know this about myself, but.
But, you know, they feel like they belong together. I'm not going to lie. Like, that feels
and
right.
When I went to watch one, I watched one last night because I couldn't sleep.
Which one did you watch?
I bought it on Amazon. And I watched Barbie and the 12 Dancing Princesses.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had just listened to the entire Barbie Princess and the Pauper soundtrack. Because before the Barbie movie, I was like, oh, you know, like Barbie vibes. Uh-huh. And so I didn't want to watch that one because I felt like I had just seen it. And so I watched Barbie and the 12 Dancing Princesses, and it's cute. And she falls in love with the shoemaker, and it's adorable.
Dang, I guess I'm renting these movies or just straight up buying them.
Yeah, I will say, like, I have, so those are like, I guess, like my masterpiece tier, like god tier Barbie movies.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ones that I consider like phenomenal but like just a little bit lower would be the Fairytopia and Mermaidia ones. Mm-hmm. My brothers would actually also watch those ones with me.
Interesting.
They have like, there's this little like blue guy named Bibble in it that I'm sure you've seen floating around online.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
He comes from Fairytopia and Mermaidia.
Oh.
And he kind of makes it worth it.
Yes, that little guy.
So, yeah.
It is funny how many moments from the Barbie movies have been used as like recent memes. Like the dancing dogs, that's from Diamond Castle. When I saw that, I was like, what is this? Like, this is something from deep in my brain, the memory, and it clicked.
Yep. And then the other ones for me are Barbie as Rapunzel, which I loved, and then also Barbie and the Magic of Pegasus. I fully believe that one is underrated.
Okay. You know, I actually don't really remember that one very much, so seems
it
like I got some
totally
homework.
Frozen before Frozen was a thing. I will say that. So, like, she plays a princess who's an ice skater. She goes out on a quest with her cursed older sister Brietta, on a flying Pegasus to the Cloud Kingdom after they're attacked by like an evil guy, and then they like defeat him and rescue their people. Like, sisterhood, one's blonde, one's a redhead. I'm pretty sure Brietta's a redhead.
That's amazing.
There's ice and a polar bear.
I love
it's totally the origins of Frozen, in my humble opinion.
Well, I fully believe that is true. I'm totally with you on that.
No, but I will say, out of all of the plots that I read. Like, I was very intrigued by Barbie and the Diamond Castle. I don't think I've seen that one, but it's about muses.
Listen, I would dare say I still would love it. So you should watch Diamond Castle. I liked it.
So obviously, phenomenal movies. Like, cannot say enough good things about them. If you have not seen Barbie Princess and the Pauper, you must. I will say, I think that one's probably top tier for the world. Like, everyone would argue that that's their favorite. If there was a community poll and they had to decide on the best Barbie movie, they would probably pick that one.
Yes, you're totally agree. I'm just laughing at the world. Like, everyone in the world would agree that this is an amazing, excellent movie. And I'm like, honestly, I respect that. So, correct.
I think they would. I'm pretty sure it has a really high rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm not going to lie.
Oh,
actually, a lot of them did. I think I was looking them up last night too because I got curious. Let me find. And they're not low. I'll tell you that much. They're better than you think they'd be for that animation.
For how not great the movies are,
it's a 75% audience score.
You know, all right.
I didn't mention about them. They were straight to DVD or VHS releases. Now they go straight to streaming services. It's an easy way to bypass the whole like ticket sales, box office fees kind of deal.
They're not trying to like,
No, they're not trying to compete. They were just trying to continue their brand. You know, they were just trying to entertain young girls. Pure intentions. And obviously there's a lot of monies in DVD sales. So
they're doing just fine.
The Barbie Diaries. I was going to mention that one. Do you remember watching that?
I feel like I might have aged out by the time. Okay, I don't remember it.
Because, like, I was like, oh, no, there's no way I saw that one. And then I think I ran across, like, a preview of it when I was doing some research. And I was like, oh, my gosh, no, I totally saw that one. There's, like, a butterfly necklace and, like, a diary. And, like, they have a band.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I just Googled it. And, yep. Yes,
so I'm fully believed that we all saw that and then promptly forgot it.
Yeah. Also, apparently that full movie's on YouTube, so
yeah,
you can go watch it for free right now.
But I'm like, or maybe I've seen the preview of it too, I think was on some movie that I own.
You know, that's probably what it was. I probably have seen that preview so many times because of...
But why is it on?
This animation is horrifying.
So after all of that... Barbie moved into starring Barbie as herself in films. And they did that for the 2010s. So there's a bunch of them. I'm not going to go through it all.
But yeah, there's like so
Barbie
many.
And the Pearl Princess. They have like a mermaid tale, another fairy one, Princess Charm School. But it basically has a lot of Barbie as herself instead of playing a character.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're still releasing films. I don't have these written down. But a lot of them, like you mentioned, are going direct to Netflix. The latest one was actually 2023. So this year they have Skipper's Babysitting Adventure film. Skipper is the one that they throw in all of the babysitting doll packs, like we've mentioned, after Barbie aged out of it. So makes sense that Skipper's the babysitter. So they're still making Barbie films. You can share this beloved knowledge with everyone you know. And I don't know if the new ones are worth it, but I'm not going to judge because, you know, there's probably people who love them just as much as we loved Princess and the Pauper, Magic Castle.
Absolutely. They are there for people, 100%.
Yes.
Okay. Is it time to...
It is time.
Thank you. Listen, I have been fighting... texting you because I know our discussion will be recorded.
My friend today was literally like, oh, have you talked about it? And I was like, no we can't.
I'm not gonna okay,
like, we're not gonna destroy the sanctity of more than a muse.
Listen. Okay, I want an overall thought on the Barbie movie first.
Love. Obsessed. 5 out of 5 stars.
Okay, spoilers obviously moving forward.
Yes.
I turned to Jordan after, who I made him go with me, but like he wanted to go, like I didn't make him, but I was like, when is Ryan Gosling, like, he needs an Oscar for his role as Ken.
Amazing.
I love him. That was the most camp girly thing I've ever seen, and it was joyful.
It was so wonderful. I feel like I don't even know how to explain how much I adore that movie because it, like, doesn't fully encompass it. But like, okay, so I went to a Barbie party today, right?
So I'm
like,
so jealous. I wish I could have been there.
Hot pink. We got sweaters, which I'm wearing.
I loved that sweater. Yes.
Thanks. The back is adorable. And we were all like dressed up, got my nails done, everything. Like we were decked out. And I looked around at the end and everyone was sobbing. And I feel like that is like the perfect example of like Barbie means so much to us in a way that you can't fully explain. Like it's so, I feel like it's how when people felt when they went and saw Toy Story 4, you know, like growing up on the movies and then like watching it at the end when like Andy gives his toys away. It was like that kind of feeling. Totally. Of like, yeah, just like your entire childhood being summed up in something and like it doing justice to it.
Yeah. 100%. I honestly, the vibes in that movie theater that I was in, it wasn't a party or anything. Everyone was wearing hot pink and pink. Mm-hmm. And like, I felt like we were all just like collectively just like interacting with the screen. Like,
yes.
There are people like
laughing out loud.
Yeah. Like snapping fingers when people liked what the actors were saying. Like, it was
one like a full production. Man yelled out, "Tell him, sister," when she was doing like her speech.
Literally.
I was like, love that.
That's so funny. Do you have a favorite part or a favorite moment? Personally, mine was, okay, I got a couple. Okay. Yeah. The first one is the moment where it pans out and all the Kens are playing the guitar and serenading the Barbies. Listen, as a musician, yes. That was so funny.
And the song choice was amazing.
Oh my gosh. And then the Ken War that turned into a musical number. They don't make movies like this anymore. I need more random dance numbers in the middle of a movie that is not a musical.
Yes.
I need that. That is what I'm looking for in my movies.
I tell you. Okay, so this is what makes me so happy. So when Greta Gerwig and Margot Robbie were looking for Ken, Margot Robbie was a producer, so she had a ton of input on casting. And she was thinking about the fact that, like, whoever they put as Ken would have to be completely fine with playing second fiddle to whoever cast as Barbie. Like, they would have to embrace their role as, like, the accessory of the lead woman. And if you think about, we talked about a little bit about The Idol coming out and how, like, The Weeknd didn't think he got enough screen time. So he, like, took over and they rewrote the entire thing. And with a male director and everyone hates it. And that's a whole other thing. Like, they couldn't have cast an egotistical Hollywood man who wasn't okay with being and Ken.
Yeah.
It had to be someone that could encompass everything that that character was and shine with it. And I just don't know how they could have gotten someone as perfect as Ryan Gosling. And she even said that the minute she thought about him, she was like, it has to be him. And her and Greta Gerwig were determined that it had to be Ryan Gosling. Because not only was he like the heartthrob we remember from all of the chick flicks growing up, so that like perfectly fits in. But also like he's this perfect, and they even said this, like this perfect example of like John Travolta mixed with like Zac Efron, you know, like teenage heartthrob, but like not too masculine, but like not overly feminine, like... just this perfect, like, how do you find someone who fits that so well?
Have you seen the, like, Jimmy, I think it was on Jimmy Fallon, I don't know, some talk show, he told the story of how he told Greta Gerwig that he would be, play Ken. Have you heard this story? Oh, okay. I'm going to find the interview and send you a link after because it's so funny to hear him tell the story. But basically, he, you know, read the script, he was thinking about it, and he was outside and he saw a Ken doll that was his like child, you know, his kids. And it was just like left face down in the dirt. And he took a picture of it and he sent it. And he said like something along the lines of like, he has a story to tell and I shall be your Ken or something like that. I'm not getting like the wording right. And the way he said it was so funny. So go watch it. You will love
it. Definitely. His story needs to be told.
He will be your Ken or something so funny like that.
Some other fun things about the film. So when they first acquired The rights. It actually started out with Sony Pictures, and this was clear back in April 2014, and they were going to have Amy Schumer be the lead role. Would have been a very different movie. Mm-mm. And I don't mean that in a mean way. It just, it would have been a very different movie. Then they actually ended up talking about Anne Hathaway for a while in the titular role. That could have been interesting. Mm-hmm. But then Sony ended up losing the rights, and they were transferred to Warner Brothers. And then they cast, and that was in 2018. And then they cast Margot Robbie in 2019. And then Greta Gerwig was announced in 2021. And then Gosling and the rest of the cast were announced in 2022. So they filmed primarily in England and then in Los Angeles, California, for all of the real world scenes. And I just think it's so interesting how many different things we've been through. There's been a lot of like headlines of past directors or like actors who were on the project who were talking about like, oh, they wanted to make Barbie feminist and like, I just couldn't do that. Or there was like no way that that would have worked. Or it just like all this stuff about like, oh yeah, Barbie can't be a feminist movie, so it never would have worked and we couldn't do it. And I feel like they made a Barbie feminist movie. Like, what are you talking
also,
about?
Also, I mean, like, I think they acknowledged everything that we talked about in the episode, like, yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, last week. Of just, like, the problem of the intention versus how it came across and the times they did wrong. And, like, you know, of just, like, it was supposed to be, like, hey, girl, you can play as yourself. And you can write your own story. And, like, the what the brand stands for is actually, like, pretty feminist, especially the idea that it was born in the 1950s and 60s, you know?
Yeah.
That's so cool. But over time, it just totally changed what it even was at all.
Yeah. And I think that they really pointed out, like, in Barbie land, they think they fixed everything for the real world. And they're so grateful for them when it's like, oh, no, like, the real world's always gonna be kind of screwed up. Okay. But also, like, the friend I went to watch it with, she was even talking about how, what a better way to explain, like, the patriarchy than to have a man go through kind of the opposite of that in Barbie world.
Yeah.
And, like, be kind of in that subversive accessory role and then learn, be like, oh my gosh, like, there's a world where men rule. And then both of them kind of realize that neither of those work. Like, yeah, you can't have all one gender in charge. Because, like, Barbie didn't even know where the Ken slept. There's no Ken dream house. That's sad.
That's so sad. I know. I liked at the end, she apologized. She was like, I'm sorry. Like, yeah, you know, I
thought every night
that
didn't
was
have
really
to be
good.
Girls' night. Like, that's so true.
That's so nice.
Yeah. No. And other things like where it said Barbie always has a good day, but Ken only has a good day if Barbie looks at him. It's like, oh.
Yes.
It made me feel really bad for Ken, especially because we talked in the last episode about how, like, Ken wasn't popular, and so when him and Barbie, like, broke up, they had to do, like, a makeover on the Ken doll to try and, like, reunite him with Barbie, which, by the way, gave me a whole idea. Mattel, if you want a sequel, I have the entire plot mapped up in my head.
Oh, I'm would love to hear that, please.
It basically, it follows canon. Barbie and Ken broke up. Barbie goes to the real world as a human. Ken and them have a break. She can date a surfer boy named Blaine. That's all canon.
That's all canon.
And then Ken goes through his makeover where he learns about himself. He rediscovers who he is. And then he gets to go to the real world and win her back.
Barbie and Ken have to be together.
I know.
I understand the point of the movie was, like, not finding love. And, like, that was that was a choice. But
yeah,
there's the child in me that's like, but Barbie and Ken are supposed to date. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
The 9-year-old in me was like, this isn't computing.
I know. The Will Ferrell where you're like, but she gets Ken. She's in love with him. And then it's like, she's not in love with Ken.
No, she's not. That was so funny.
Her. Yeah.
Why
so
would
if
you?
They want a sequel,
that's actually
we could all get on board with that.
That's a funny idea for a Barbie sequel. That would, like, be totally justifiable. It's not like a money-making sequel. Like, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
There should be a sequel that happens.
He'll go through his whole thing, figure out his whole individualism, realize that he also still wants to be with her. He can go win her back.
I love that. I think my favorite line of the whole show, too, was when he was like, yeah, I realized that patriarchy wasn't just about riding horses, and I got kind of bored. And
I want a shirt that says that. I'm not even kidding.
Uh-huh.
Like, so much. there's like other things that just keep coming out about the movie that I love. Greta Gerwig did this whole thing where she talked about when they're roller skating in mm-hmm. Venice Beach. People were actually coming up to Ryan Gosling and being like, high five, man. Like, you look great. You're being amazing. And like, no one was talking to Margot Robbie, and like, people were looking at her weird. And so like, the reaction that she had was actually real. Aww. And Greta, as like a director and like, you know, a fellow woman, they're like friends. She wanted to like literally go over to her and be like, it's okay, it's okay. But then she realized how important it was that they needed to have Barbie be uncomfortable for the first time. So she just like let Margot suffer through the scene. But like, Margot Robbie was literally that uncomfortable when wow. they were filming because of how people were reacting just between the two of them.
So were they literally just like, those were just like people that were...
Well, they were filming in the public. Because remember, those were the first photos that went viral of the Barbie movie?
Yeah, everyone saw those costumes. That's true.
They were literally on Venice Beach filming. So, I mean, like, I'm sure
they're not going to like shut down a whole beach. Like, you can't necessarily do that.
Yeah, especially in like Los Angeles. Like, that's probably pretty common. They shut down like a street or something to film. Or like a portion of it. They probably had like a walkway.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure for the most part, like, that was just public.
Yeah, that's
but, like, true. People were complimenting Ken, you know, Ryan Gosling so much. And, like, they really were looking at her weird. Someone else, it was Alyssa Wilkinson of Vox. She compared Barbie Land to, like, the Garden of Eden. Mm-hmm. And then Barbie and Ken is, like, the inverted parallels of Adam and Eve. So them, like, being suddenly realized that they're, like... naked and being looked at and everything mm-hmm. when they like wander out into the real world. I thought that was like a really interesting point.
That is really interesting.
There was like a lot of complaints about the ending.
Really?
And we can bring this up again later, but like, I have no complaints about it. Like, that's all she wanted. She wanted to be real. And yeah. like, that what is more real? Like, she had everything else. The only thing that really made her real was like everything that comes with being a full woman.
I didn't mind the ending at all. I feel like it would have been weird if she just would have been like, okay, cool, and I'm staying in Barbie Land. I don't know how else it would have ended besides like staying with Ken and falling in love, but like, that, you know,
that wouldn't have worked either.
I don't think that would have made sense for where the movie was going.
Ken kind of turned into the villain for a little while. he needs some moments alone.
He needed to grow.
One thing that's also fun, so Gerwig and Baumbach are the two writers for the film. They were given full creative freedom, which I think is amazing. I think Mattel like gave the final approval, I'm assuming, but they did give them full creative film like freedom, which is hardly ever happened. They got to collaborate on the screenplay during the COVID pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And they described the writing process as very open and free. And she was really inspired by the Apostles' Creed. So it was like her film treatment consisted of an abstract poem on Barbie influenced by the Apostles' Creed. So I want to find this poem, but if you're seeing religion parallels, it's intentional.
Oh, 1000% did I see the religious parallels.
Also, she was really inspired by the 1994 nonfiction book Reviving Ophelia by Mary Pfeiffer, which accounts the effects of societal pressures on American adolescent girls.
Oh.
And then also, of course, found inspiration in classic Technicolor musicals like The Red Shoes, The Umbrellas of Cherbourg. And she is quoted saying, they have such a high level of what we came to call authentic artificiality. You have a painted sky in a soundstage, which is an illusion, but it's also really there. Like, the painted backdrop is really there. The tangibility of the artifice is something we kept going back to, mm-hmm. which is fun because there was no CGI in this movie. Like, the sets were real.
Oh, were, and the sets there. Were so fun.
Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
So they were tangible. Like, it was the thing, like, the artificial reality where it's, like, it's there, but it's not real, but mm-hmm. it is.
Yeah.
Which
mm-hmm. I love the so callback to, like, the Technicolor, like, musicals because... during the big Ken dance number with all the different sets and everything, I was like, this is like giving me like Singing in the Rain vibes. And I
Until all the black t-shirts came out, and then I got very Grease Lightning.
Oh yes, Grease Lightning for sure.
She also talked about like the idea of Barbie being constrained in multitudes. Uh-huh. So like all of the women are Barbie, and Barbie is all of the women. So she doesn't have to have her own personal life because mm-hmm. she's like a part of her environment. And then just how that mirrors like a girl's journey from childhood to adolescence. But it's not like a coming of age film because it's just about being a woman rather than like a growing up. Because Barbie's like already an adult, right? And then just kind of that whole thing. I feel like she put so much thought and effort into every part of this.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
So like, much fun.
She also talked a lot about how she really felt the need to have like those intergenerational relationships that she likes to have in all of her films, like Barbie sitting on the bench with the old woman, which is like one of my favorite parts, where she looks over and you see this like kind of shock on her face because she probably has never seen anyone who is old.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just goes, "You're so beautiful." And the lady's like,
I know. And that was nice. Laugh. Also, it was. All the moments with Ruth Handler, creator. Aww.
Touched my heart, especially the part where she's like, "You think the woman who created Barbie looks like Barbie? I'm a 5'2" grandma with a double mastectomy and tax evasion
problems." Yeah. Oh my gosh. I loved that line.
It was just beautiful. Like, this movie had so much heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just wonderful. She also, this is another funny thing, she used Planet of the Apes as an example for like the Barbie's rule and the Kens are an underclass kind of societal structure for inspiration there.
That's so funny. And you've seen it twice already, huh?
Yeah, I have. And I love it.
I'm excited.
And I will be buying it on
again.
DVD.
I know. I'm excited to see it again because I also feel like it was such a witty movie. And like really we mentioned earlier, there's like so many just like jokes that pay homage to the Barbie brand and like, you know, the little inside things. Alan was hilarious.
So funny. And Olive and NSYNC is apparently Alan. So even Justin Timberlake. Yes, even him. That was funny. Yeah, like having Skipper's Treehouse, having Midge there pregnant, the discontinued dolls up in the like
weird house.
Funky mm-hmm. weird house with weird Barbie. And Kate McKinnon did such a good job with that role, too.
Yeah, she really did. I was telling that to Jordan that, like, I mean, this isn't, I don't mean to insult her by saying this, but, like, I definitely just, like, view her as an SNL cast member who is just, like, a comedian more, not, like, an actress.
Definitely.
And so I was a little bit worried when I saw her in that role that I was like, is this just going to feel like there's an SNL cast member in this movie? But no, I didn't feel that at all. Like, I totally believed
it. No. And, like, when you look at her, you're like, yeah, she does. She just looks like an older Barbie doll. Mm-hmm. Like, she's got the blue eyes and the blonde hair. And, like, she really is stunning. Like, seeing her and Margot Robbie next to each other, it was like, oh, it makes sense. Like, the whole idea that she really was the prettiest Barbie in the land.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got played with too hard. And I loved the flashbacks. It looked like she was the Totally Hair Barbie that was the best-selling Barbie with, like, the hair down to her ankles. So, like, it made sense why
she's the most beautiful.
Crazy.
And then, got a little wild. No, I loved it. It was so funny. I can't wait to see it again. And, yeah, listeners, I would love to know your thoughts, too. Julie,
I know,
feeling
like,
inspired.
Tell us, even if you want a message about it, we will answer.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just some, like, last notes. It's doing really well.
It is doing really well.
Which is really exciting because we kind of mentioned this at the beginning, but this is the biggest box office sales that a solo female director has ever seen, I think. So that's incredible. Yes, and we should all be applauding that. It's got like a 90% of audience reviews on Rotten Tomatoes already. And then critics are rating it at like an 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
So it's doing pretty well. A lot of people are saying that, like, it's kind of a long commercial, which, okay, I understand that.
I don't necessarily feel like Mattel Corporate was, like, the good guys there at all.
No. Like, they were just kind of neutral.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I can understand that it's like, oh, it feels like a giant commercial, but at the same time, if it's going to be a self-aware movie where it's a Barbie doll, like, it's going to have that. Like, I don't really know if that's escapable. If you're self-aware,
I know, and
of that.
I think compared to like how many brand partnerships and everything it did too, like I saw a TikTok where it was like, "Oh, like how are we going to market this movie?" And they're like, "Well, let's dye everything pink and let's have this, and you know, like we'll have a mortuary, make Barbie-sized coffins, and like just crazy stuff." And then for Oppenheimer, they're like, "Oh, did you put up the poster?" Okay, good.
Yeah, I thought that was
like,
so funny.
And it's like, they're very different movies. It makes sense that Barbie is going crazy, but also I feel like the public kind of called for the Barbie partnerships and
people
wanted
it.
For it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And like, even in the movie theater at the very end, Ken has the like hoodie that's tie-dye that says, "I am Kenuff."
I want that.
They're selling it on Mattel. They posted it today.
Oh,
and a bunch
no.
of people were like, "Oh, so it's a money-making scheme." And I'm like, no, it's just people were probably like, they posted it today. They would have posted it
here's the thing. I think people, like, literally in the theater, I heard the people behind me say, I want that sweatshirt. Like,
yes, I did too. And people will wear it.
Are you? It's $60. Of course it is.
Yeah.
But I love that. Oh, my gosh. It's probably
soft.
We'll give them that. It is probably a nice. Listen, you know what? Yeah. I hate to say it, guys, like, capitalism wins today. Like,
it really does. Sorry. And another thing was, like,
in the sense of, like, oh, I lose, I give up.
Yeah.
I'll fight it.
People
tomorrow.
Are also saying, like, Barbies are now skyrocketing in sales once again, mm-hmm. which they're like, oh, and plastic is bad. I want to, like, kind of say something. Maybe this is controversial. Plastic isn't necessarily bad unless you're disposing of it constantly. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people use plastic and pretty much everything. There's parts of your computer that are plastic, like parts of your furniture are plastic. The only problem that comes with plastic is, like, one use, frequently disposed of, intended to be thrown away plastic.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy Barbie dolls and you keep them in, like, good shape and, like, hand them down to your kids, like, my mom gave me some of her Barbies, I plan on giving them to my children, that's fine. Like, plastic is durable. There's a reason a lot of things are made out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It only becomes a problem if you're, like, buying and throwing away constantly. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not plastic that's, like, inherently evil. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of things that come with, like, making it.
I was gonna say, like, I don't know what the pollution yeah. is involved with making plastic, yeah. but
there's, like, a lot of reasons why, like, people chose it as a material. So, like, it's not inherently evil to buy things that are made out of plastic. Also, Barbie does have a couple of collections that are made out of recycled plastic for Barbie dolls. So if you're looking to be a little bit more eco-friendly, you can do that. But I just want to say, like, it's not this, like, inherently horrible thing in a yeah. lot of ways. And I'm sure, like, Mattel will have a lot to answer for that they need to, like, progress with and move forward with as we, you know, mm-hmm. if we want to keep our environment going. But I just think it's interesting to immediately sum everything up to be, like, plastic, bad.
Yeah, no, like, I truthfully don't have, like, a hot take on that. So, like, I totally respect that opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, and I could be completely wrong. Like, I don't know. But I just think that, like, it's just like any other material. Like, as long as you're conscious about it, I think.
Well, it's kind of like, sorry, subject change. But, like, if people are insulting, like, people who are, like, buying things from Shein, you know.
Yeah.
Granted, things have come out about the working conditions, but if we're just critiquing fast fashion, period, it's not necessarily the person who buys a t-shirt that is really cheap because that's what they can afford, but they buy the shirt and they own that shirt and wear it for 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Versus the yeah. person who is doing huge fast fashion hauls every month to stay up on current trends and then immediately throws them away. Like, there's a very exactly. big difference and how you act as a consumer that I think, like, can make a big deal. And it's more important. I mean, as far as, like, what we're able to do, I think it's just really important to be a mindful consumer in that way.
Yeah. So
it's just different.
I completely mm-hmm. agree. Yeah, be mindful about it. Don't go crazy with it. Like, don't go buy every Barbie doll that's ever been made immediately after, you know? But, like, if your daughter
yeah.
wants to get a Barbie now after this whole buzz, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with buying a couple Barbies for your kid.
They have the whole, like, Barbie, they made all the characters dolls. Oh my gosh.
Yes, they did. That's another thing. So this is, they've made all the characters dolls. They actually have both of the pink cowgirl outfit with Margot Robbie, the pink plaid dress at the beginning, and the little, like, teal and pink hat set that she wears when she confronts Ken in the dream house.
I like
and
that
then
one.
Ken has his cowboy outfit and his, like, beginning teal and pink striped one. I'm still dying to see the fur coat, black fringe vest with multiple pairs of sunglasses and watches.
Yes.
Outfit.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I think everyone should pick as their Ken outfit for a Halloween costume. If you're going to do totally. That, I think you need the fur coat, black fringe vest, black ripped jeans with three watches on and two pairs of sunglasses with a bandana wrapped around your head.
But, oh, that pink Western outfit is going to be everywhere. And I'm right. so excited for it.
Yeah, that was also one of the most popular costumes that I saw, was a lot of people dressed as pink cowgirls.
Well, everyone, thank you for joining. Thanks for our double week on Barbie. Come back next week. We're not talking about Barbie, but I did find a really cool forgotten woman artist that deserves some recognition and some love. So you can come mm-hmm. back, listen to us next week, but also DM us. I would love to know your thoughts on the Barbie movie. And yeah. Anything you might have to say, I'm here for it.
Definitely. Go see it again with people if you want to. I just really want a female director to, like, really show up every Marvel movie that's ever been made this year. So, and I think this is the one that could do it.
Yeah.
It's got a predominantly female cast with a female director and a female producer.
Uh-huh.
I think multiple female producers. And it stars a female. So just, like, if we can make it do really well, like, I would love it.
I'm fully on board.
Because I'm already convinced that, like, the Oscars are going to be mean and probably give a lot of awards to Oppenheimer over Barbie. So let's just make Barbie win the dollar.
Yeah. When I was like, Jordan, I just want Ken to win an Oscar. He's like, listen, that's not going to happen. I'm like, shh. I want it but to. Let me leave in my dream house and be happy there. Anyways, rate and review. Because you love us and we love you.
Yeah. Rate and review Barbie. Rate and review us. And come back next week.
Come back next week. Talk to you then.
And yeah. Bye.
Bye.